Bayre Biyad, which we'll get to in a moment to explain. Just to finish, just before that, I'm going to finish off a couple of things that you didn't get last week. And last week, essentially, the topic was peeling, but there were a couple of other things that came up in the subject, and we'll just deal with them as they come. So if you have a bowl of fruit in the way that you have two types of fruit, where one type covers the other, and you want to have something from the bottom level and not from the top level. So here we're going to say that the top level of fruit is like considered like a cover to the bottom level, and you can't get hold of the bottom level without removing the top one, so you can take the cover off. So if you have a bowl of plums with covered grapes, then you want a plum, so you can remove all the grapes to get hold of the plums. That's not considered boire, because that's just considered removing the obstacle that is in your way. However, this only applies when you're dealing with two types of food, and one of them you don't want, so then maybe you're pushing the one aside, as in a peel, just to get hold of what's underneath. But if you're dealing with one type of fruit, where the top layer are rotten, and the bottom layer are good, so here you're dealing with mamish oichon and psoil. It's not that it's two types of food and one is unwanted, but there's mamish food and psoil, food and non-food. So then we say you cannot remove the rotten ones in order to get hold of the good ones, because in this particular case, it is considered you're metaken the good ones. You're actually fixing up and making the better one better by taking the rotten ones out. You're improving, you're leaving the good ones improved, and that's not allowed. If you have such a case where you have some rotten fruits and they're in the way and you want to get hold of the good fruits, so the way to do it would be to spill out the whole bowl and then you pick up the good fruits. Again, this also always, whenever you're taking good food out of bad food, even though this is the mutter way to do it, but it's only mutter if it is considered derech achila. Derech achila, as we've always said, is A, the food must be taken from the non-food, or the wanted from the unwanted, and B, it has to be done by hand and not with the aid of a utensil, and C, it's got to be done samuch la'achila. So fine, you're doing the food out of the wanted from the wanted, and you're taking it by hand. Nevertheless, it's got to be samuch la'achila. So if you happen to walk past your fruit bowl in the house and see there's a couple of rotten ones, you want to take them out, so you can't just do it, take them out and throw them away, because then that's considered as taking the psoilus out, and even to pour it out and then put back the good ones, that would be separating it in a way that if you don't need it for immediate use, then it's also a problem. It's got to be done for immediate use. Now, there's certain fruit that the way they come in bunches, clusters, those type of things. If the normal way they come to your house is on a bunch or on a cluster, then there's no problem of removing them at the time of eating from Shabbos. So if you have grapes on a cluster, you want to pick the grapes off and eat them. No problem if you're doing it for the sake of eating. When you have removed all the edible grapes from the cluster, you're left with just the cluster and perhaps a grape or two that's not edible, so either rotten or underripe, and you're not going to eat it, it's discarded, so then what's left behind, actually you have a problem of muksa over here, like anything else. When you have the peels of the fruits, the peels become muksa once the fruit has been removed from it. So you have to know the halachos of muksa, how you can get rid of it. You do it to the tab, or if it's left on the table, it's a grub charay. One has to know that. So you can pick grapes off a cluster, you can pick both bananas off a bunch, you can pick cherry tomatoes off the little piece of vine that comes with it. And all this is if you are taking things that are normally come to your house like that. But dates, if you were to buy dates and it was still on the branch. So there are people who are asurit because this is not the normal way to come to your house, and therefore it is considered dash. This is not a problem of bayre, but rather a problem of dash. That's one of the processes of preparing food. Another halacha to do with bayre, sort of a random halacha that should be mentioned. If you have index cards and you want to take one out, that's not a problem if it's for immediate use. A gabbai in a shul might have that because he needs to know who to give an aliyah to, or he needs the guy's name, or whatever the case may be. So he has a box of index cards. He can sift through them until he finds the one he wants, and then he takes the one out. Even if by mistake he takes one out that he doesn't need, discovers it's unneeded, that's not a problem, because essentially what he's doing is he's looking for one that he wants and takes it out. Putting them back could also be, it's also mutter to sift through to find the place and then to stick it in. That's not a problem. The problem would be if you have multiple cards that you need to put back. So now that's already what we call mion. That is already considered processing and dividing up of what you have in front of you. So like discussed, we've got a pile of sparim on the table, picking them up and putting them back in the book, those would be a problem. So if you have a pile of cards and you want to put them back into the index folder, then that will be a problem because you're taking each one and separating, putting it in its place. If the next one separate, putting it in its place. If it's done one by one, then yesh materi, and that's all the sparim also. If you take the top safer off the pile, this safer, you look at it, let it go, put it back. So then you're putting one safer back. A minute later, you go take a second safer. So really, if you're doing one by one without, in a way that is considered the normal packing up of these things. So that just finishes off what we were discussing last week, and now this week we're going to start Breira B'yad. Now, Breira B'yad is the second condition that we've been talking about. When, as we said, Breira is Misudoraisa. To separate items, good from bad, and you're being attacking the good, you're improving the good by removing the bad from it, is the issue of boiler. And there are times when it is daraisa, times when it's drabonon. You don't do it in the regular way, or you do it something different, so it could be it's a drabonon. But the bottom line is that it is always asur, unless you do it, what we say is derech achila. I said this before, just say it again. So we know what we're talking about, and that is when something is done in the way of eating. When you eat something, so there's a way to eat. So there we say that there's not a restriction that you can't eat because there's boiler involved. So if it's done in the normal way of eating, so then it would be considered as eating and not considered as boiler. How is it defined for something to be considered the way it's eaten, rather than the way it is done as tikkun, as a improvement to the food? And that we've always said, three rules. One, it's got to be done oichum mitach psalis, you take the good out and not the bad out. Two, it's got to be done by hand. And three, it's got to be done immediately. So now we're going to discuss done by hand and various halachos that are related to things that are done this way. So the first thing we're going to say is that by hand is lav dafka, literally by hand. If you have a liquid and you have some fruit, say, floating in the liquid, you don't have a chil to stick your finger in the liquid in order to get the fruit out. That's not necessary. That you definitely have to get your fingers dirty. If you want to use a spoon to help you, or a fork or something like that, then we say that is considered the extension of your hand. And so we say that if you're using a tool, so we're going to discuss what is the purpose of the utensil, the tool that you use. Is it to help with the removal of the food, just to help you because you don't get your fingers dirty because you can't hold it, it's too hot, whatever it is? Or is it there to aid you in the separation process? So let's take an example, a fork. A fork is often used as barrier because you can put a fork into liquid and pull up the food. So if you have a can of corn and you stick a fork inside and you want to take out the corn and you want to leave the liquid behind, so that is derech barrier, that you use a fork. That's why you use the fork and that's not a spoon, because you definitely want the liquid to fall through. But if you have a piece of meat in gravy and you stick a fork into the meat and you now pull the meat out, so you're using the fork as a way of holding the piece of meat. That's not because it's a fork, it's because this is what helps. Not because it's a fork and therefore the liquid's going to fall through. No, you're stabbing the piece of meat with your fork and pulling the piece of meat out. So that is the extension of your hand and not a barrier utensil. So that's essentially how we're going to divide up between what is considered by hand and by utensil, even though there are times that you can use utensils in order to do barriers. All the utensils not directly related to what you're doing. So there was one example, as I said, you take the meat and you stab it, you would pull it out of the pot like that. That is not considered a barrier. So too, if you're eating and you're using knife and fork and you want to get the meat off the bone, so when you cut the meat off the bone and you're using your knife, you're using your fork, you're pushing this way, you're pushing that way, it's just in order to help you remove the flesh that you want to eat from the bone that you're not going to eat. That is not considered as a utensil of barrier. If you have a salami or something like that, and you want to remove the skin, the outside coating, so you can take a knife and you can slice it, you can pull it off with the aid of a knife. Because there again, it's not the Maaseh Boreh that is aided with the, you're not improving the Maaseh Boreh with the knife, it's just this is the way you're going to do it, this is the way you have it. Obviously, if it's that type of salami that has writing on it, it's going to take care not to cut through the writing. So these are cases of what it means to do something by hand. In liquids, also you're going to have it that you're going to be using a spoon and things like that. So now we're going to continue on, just slightly different, but continue on this idea of using utensils and when will it be mutter, when it would be awesome. So if you have, for example, you have milk, and at the top of the milk you have a layer of fat that is floating on top of the milk. If your intention is to eat this fat, you've taken yourself a pot of milk and you've got a layer of fat on top, and what you want right now is to eat that fat. So you may take a spoon and spoon it out and eat it, and you don't have to worry about boil, because what you're doing is you're doing straight for eating. There's nothing to worry about that. If you have, if you're going to be putting it into a plate and then you're going to eat it, then you have to be worried that what you're doing now is boil. You're separating it and then you're going to be eating it. So it's only mutter if you're eating it straight out of the mixture. If you do want to put it into a plate, so then you have to be careful how you do it. One way to do it is that you take, and say, that when you have two parts, one on top of another, for example, if you have cream on top of milk, or you have two layers of fruit, or you have wine and you have dregs at the bottom, something which comes in two layers. So we say we don't look at the whole thing as a mixture, but rather we look at the top is one thing, the bottom is another thing, and the place where they touch, that is where the mixture is. So if I take off the top and I don't get to the point where the two touch, then I haven't reached the mixture, there's no problem whatsoever. So if I have, say, for example's sake, I have milk and I have a cream layer floating on top of the milk, and that cream layer is 3 centimeters thick. So to remove the top 2 centimeters is not an issue of worry whatsoever, because it's not tzarevus, it's a mixture over here. So you don't have to worry about removing the top 2 layers. You can even do it. You can even do it with a kli. You can do it for later. That's not worry. It's just taking something and moving from one place to another. If I have a bowl of apples and I take an apple out, no one says that's worry because I took an apple out of apples. There's no mixture in front of me. So the fact that there happens to be in my bowl of apples is 3 oranges at the very bottom. So when I take an apple out, I don't say I'm taking an apple out from a mixture of apples and oranges. If they were evenly mixed up, or I reached the part where the apples and oranges mixed the time. As long as I'm only taking an apple out of apple, that's not a problem. So number one is if you want to take the cream off the milk, so as long as you don't get to the point of contact, then there's absolutely no problem. You can just scoop it off. The other way is to do even further, is to take beyond the end of the layer of cream and take some of the milk with. That means you take the whole tarevus with you. That also is you're not separating the cream from the milk because you're taking the milk with the cream. Now the same thing would be if you have boiled milk. If you boil milk, when it cools off, it forms some sort of membrane, some sort of a skin that forms on top of the milk. So that also, if you don't want to drink it, you don't want to consume it while you drink the milk, so taking that off would be a problem of boiler. And if you're going to take it off, you have to take it off with a little bit of milk with it, or else you can pour off the milk and let the skin stay behind. How do you do that? Either you either you can hope that the skin will stick to the wall, or you can even use a spoon or something like that that will stop the skin from floating further. But essentially what you're doing is you're pouring out the milk, and then you're leaving the skin behind. But you have to be careful that you're not doing boiler in the fact that you're, you say that if you have a pot of noodles, for example, and you want to pour out the water, so you can't put the lid on the pot at an angle that allows the water to come up, not the noodles, because that would be using the pot as a utensil. Here, you're just using some sort of utensil to stop the skin from flowing with the milk, but not that you're separating it from the milk that way. And all this brings us to the next subject of filtering. Filtering is a kli hamiyuchad leboyer. That's what a filter's definition is. That is, it's there to do boyer. It's there to separate the good from the bad. So whether you're using a sieve or you're using a what we call a filter that is made of all sorts of materials, whether it's carbon or whether it's something else, it's irrelevant. But the point is that you're pouring a liquid through a filter, and what happens is that the unwanted stuff gets caught in the filter and the rest goes through. That is a typical case of boiler, that you are pulling out the bad and you're letting the good be improved. However, before you get to the issue of boiler in filtering, you first have to discuss, do we have here a tyroidus? Do you have a mixture? And here we have an interesting situation that even though you're dealing with an unwanted product, but if this unwanted item is in small quantities that most people are not bothered by it, so then taking it out, even though you're improving your final product, but taking it out is not considered boiler. The simplest example of that in our day and age would be tap water. The water that comes in from the area has been through a very strict process of cleaning, and it is filtered. Apparently Israeli water before it goes through the filtration process is actually quite filthy and is quite full of bugs and worms and all the rest, and therefore they actually do a very good filtration. I read in Rabbi Bayer's book that Israeli water from the point of view of the bugs in the water is actually one of the cleanest in the world, and that's simply because that has so many bugs before it comes to us, they have to actually do good filtration to take it out. he claims that in New York, I don't know what the situation is today, but at the time he wrote it, he said that New York gets a lot of its water from open streams, from good quality mountain water, because the water is such good quality, that unfiltered, and they send it straight into the system, and therefore there is a problem of bugs in the water. What people do, how we pass them about bugs, whether you see them, you can't see them, you should filter, not filter, what to do on Shabbos, is an issue with me atzmai, a separate issue. But if you knew for sure there was bugs in the water, then you couldn't filter it. So first you need to get your rabbi to pass them for you whether your water is bug infested, and if it is, so not only do you have a problem, you can't drink it during the week, so during the week you got to filter it, but on Shabbos the filtering then would be necessary, therefore would be a problem of fire. Here now it's just, well, the water is very clean, because of the fact that it started very dirty, and therefore there are no bugs in the water, and the water is also disinfected, they put chlorine in the water, and therefore there's very few germs in the water. But the water might carry certain minerals that people find harmful, or perhaps the water is has a taste of chlorine that people don't like, and therefore a lot of people have water filters. So essentially what we say is that the water is drinkable without the filter. The filter just improves it because you like it better that way. But mainly you don't consider the water going in as a taroid, so it's not really a mixture, and therefore you don't have to worry, you can actually filter it through a machine, through a filter that's made specially for water. You don't have to worry about it. When you start dealing with water that is not drinkable, or person has a personal objection to drink the water, which can happen. Some people, I know someone who has a very sensitive stomach and cannot stomach, pun intended, the unfiltered water. So then in his particular case would be different. So this is now going to apply to many other things. In halacha, the example, says, as I said, today the common one is water filter. There is a separate issue on water filters. Once we're talking about them, we'll bring up a separate issue. And that is, when your water filter has been used extensively, so the amount of dirt that builds up in the filter becomes excessive. There's a lot of dirt built up in the filter, but the filter's good. It doesn't let it through. So every 6 months or every year, you've got your filter man comes and he takes out the filter and he replaces it with a fresh one inside. But the water still comes out clean because the filter doesn't let any of the dirt through. It's just you have a major buildup of dirt. If you look at these filters, they go in white and they come out dark brown, black after lots of use. So the question is that when you have water sitting in your filter, you have an under the counter filter, and you have a container that the water is in. I'm not even talking about where you have a storage of water. I'm talking about just the actual filter. There's a certain, half a liter of water or something like that, maybe a liter of water that's inside the place where the filter is. And now when the tap is off and it's not running, so that water is sitting in dirt. And most people would be quite grossed out to drink that water, but you're taking a dirty filter, you're pouring clean water into a dirty filter, and then you're putting it through and it comes out clean. So the water, let us say, was 98% clean. You put it in, you let it sit around the filter and it got too dirty, and then it comes out 99% clean. So true, the water is still coming out clean, but it went to a stage where it got dirtier. So Yesh Omrim, there is an opinion that water that was sitting there at the time that the tap was off became real dirty that no one would drink. And therefore, when you open the tap, the first bits of water that come out should be considered as went through a boiler process and went from non-drinkable to drinkable. What comes in after that doesn't mix with the dirt because that's flowing through and goes through and comes out. As I said, it's some opinions. Some say you don't take them into account. That's not something that you need to consider. And they have various rights for the halacha. The bottom line is ask your local Orthodox rabbi for a psak on how to deal with water filters. My father once asked Rabbi Kornfeld about this a couple of years back, and he said he used quite a sharp lashon about it, that he thinks it's a excessive chumrah. And he said you want to be machmir, so let the water run a couple of seconds before you use it. That was how Rabbi Kornfeld told my father this a number of years back. And that is what here the Frum filter people tell their customers, that you should know that it's an issue, and what one should do is let the water run a little bit before you use it. Although they make a difference between the different types. If you have a container that holds the water, if you have, for example, a reverse osmosis filter, so the water, because the filtration purposes, the filtration system is so complex, so the water comes through very slowly. So people don't have the patience to wait till the water comes through. So what they do, they put a tank under the sink. And when you're not using the water, that tank fills up. When you want water, you're taking the water out of the tank. You're not taking the water out of the filter. Therefore, what you're doing is you're emptying the tank. And at a certain point, the tank reaches a certain amount of becoming empty. So then there's a pressure system inside and fresh water will come through. So those ones, Lahore, you don't have to worry, because what you're taking out of the tap is not the water that was in the filters, and it comes on separately at a different time. And there's different opinions in it. Or if you have, for example, a water bar that you put on top of your counter, so the filter will be quite a bit before the bar, and then the water goes into the bar and then sits in a container where it gets cooled or heated. You have a tummy arba or noam or whatever they're called. So then what you're taking is you're taking water out of a container, not water out of the filter. So some people say that's more maker. You don't have to be machmir over there. So as I said, when it comes to this type of thing, because you should ask the shayla, what we're dealing with is that just the bottom line of the shayla of boiler or not. And therefore, again, I'll say that when it comes to water filters, if the water that goes into your filter is drinkable, and most people drink it, you essentially are not makbid, you prefer it, but you would drink it without filtering, then there's no problem of using a water filter of choice. So this is going to apply to many other things. So as I said, this is the typical case that we deal with today. This is where the shayla comes up in our day and age. In the olden days, what was more common is in wine. Today, our wine has been through a cleansing process. They put it through a centrifugal type of filter that through the spinning gets all the unwanted items get filtered out, and we have very clear and pure wine. Sometimes we'll have wine that comes without preservatives, that you might get a bit of dregs settle at the bottom. That's the sometimes you have, and that doesn't make the wine undrinkable. It comes a separate problem. When you get to the very end of the bottle, so as I said, when you're pouring out from the top of the bottles, you're pouring out wine. You get to the very end of the bottle, now the wine's mixed with dregs, and now you pour it extra slowly so that only the wine comes out and the dregs at the bottom. That will be a problem on Shabbos. So if you have that type of wine that has dregs at the bottom, when you get to the very, very last drops that you see that it's coming out from the dregs, that's where you've got to be careful. But in the case of Chazal, what was more common was there was a bit of impurities that floated on the wine. They called them kmochim, which is from the lashon of flour. So it must have been some sort of bits of a solid bit that would be floating on the wine. And it didn't really, it wasn't considered soilless in the fact that you could drink the wine as is. A filtered wine that was in better condition, everybody agreed with it, is much better. But you could drink it as is, and therefore The halacha is that such a wine could be filtered through a regular filter. You could take a sieve or whatever you would use during the week and pour it through, because even though you're using kliyam yochid l'kach, we don't consider this as a mixture, and therefore there's no issur. The problem is when you deal with something that is people are makbila. So here you have, there is a machlokes on this, whether you can use a utensil that is not normally used. So, for example, the in halacha they talk about that you have a mishameris, it must be some sort of filter, is what they pour the wine through. But if you take a piece of cloth, which is not used, normally used for this, so pouring it through a piece of cloth would be, or pouring it through a klipa maturis was a sort of basket. So these things were not usually used for filtering, and I used it filtering, so that would be fine. The mice is much like this. We pass in that it's not fine, but in cases of necessity, so there are times that you can rely on this, but then it depends on what the case, how much you're dealing with the mixture. So going back to the milk case that we started with, if you have milk which has floating bits on it, whether that is the skin that developed after cooking, or the milk wasn't very well homogenized, and you have this cream floating on top. So now the question is, are you and are people makbid not to drink the milk as is? So if a person or the people where you live are makbid not to drink the milk as is, so then filtering would be asur. There are cases where it's edible stuff, but most people are makbid. So then, for example, you need to give it to a child and you don't have anything else, so then maybe you could pour it through a sock or something like that, which is not normally done. And we'll try to avoid that. But if it's milk where everybody drinks it, it's just a little bit of cream floating in it, but they're not overly makbid. They prefer not to have the cream, but everybody does drink it and it is drinkable. So then essentially you could take out a sieve, pour it through a sieve, not a problem. So obviously this would mean that if you have a bug floating on liquid, so no one's eating bugs, so then to pour that liquid through a sifting container, whether it's a kliyam yochid l'kach or not, even there, since that's real boiler, then even if you pour it through a sock, which you would not normally pour it through, everybody would agree that that's not mutter, because no one eats bugs. And therefore, that would be also the only way to get the bug out of the liquid would be to take a spoon and take the bug out with some of the liquid. But just a couple of examples of things that people might want to filter, even, and we say that it's mutter because people would normally eat it. So if you have, for example, if you have a fruit juice, you have an orange juice, and you have the pulp of the oranges floating the orange juice, not only is it enjoyed, but a lot of the drink companies will actually say pulp added in. Or with the pulp, that's considered as a minor, not a chisaron. If you get someone who doesn't like it or prefers it without, or you need clear liquid without the pulp because you've got a recipe for something or other. So since this is normally eaten, so you can obviously take this juice and now pour it through a sieve or a filter or whatever the case, even if it's kliyam yochid l'kach, because we don't consider this to be a mixture, because everybody eats the pulp together with the fruit. So that would be another example of something that clearly is separating one from another. But since we don't consider it a tarobus, then it's much for a person to do. Okay, I think I'm going to hold it there for today. And we'll continue on this subject next week about filtering. pouring liquids off and things like that and how to deal with it. That will continue next week. So wishing everybody a good day. And
thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. Oh.